Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Next Chapter Widows Ministry Talk Show, a ministry embracing widows and other losses as well. I am Mary Hollis, your host and director of the Next Chapter. The purpose of our ministry is to exemplify love to widows through regular encouragement and many decisions about the many decisions of the first 3 years. Our scripture read, "Honor widows that are widows indeed," coming from 1 Timothy 5:3. I hope that you all had a wonderful week. And if you missed our show last week, well, you have another opportunity to hear our great speaker and author. Elder Carla Davis talked about part of the beginning of her book, Overcoming the Grief Pit of Experience. But let me mention some things about Ms. Elder Davis, because if you were not on the air last week, Elder Carla Norman Davis, she's an ordained elder, preacher, author, teacher, public speaker, wide world traveler, entrepreneur, mother, wife, and daughter. She's also the founder and pastor of the Center of Prayer Ministry. And like I say, she talked about tough days, guilt, and also seeking God through this journey of grief. I am going to go ahead and let her come on the air and speak to you. I want to give her as much time. Don't want to talk too much, because I want her to give you more information, talking about her book, her journey of grief, and that's it. I'm going to bring Elder Carla Davis on. Good evening, Ms. Davis.
Well, good evening. Good evening. And thank you, Mary, for that wonderful introduction. I give all glory to my Heavenly Father. And I say good evening, grace and peace to all of our listeners from coast to coast. I bring you greetings in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and welcome to the Next Chapter Ministry Talk Show. So a few years ago, God gave me an assignment to write a book about my grief experience and recovery through the power of his love. I was hesitant, not knowing how I would accomplish this task emotionally. I am blessed to say that the book, Overcoming the Grief Pit Experience, was published and placed into circulation in June of 2018. About 28 years ago, my fiancé died suddenly of a massive heart attack. The journey of mourning was lengthy and painful. I wondered if I would ever recover. But thanks be to God and his awesome presence, patience, and love for me that I am whole and able to write and tell my story. The book has 7 chapters of issues that most of us who lose loved ones that are truly special to us will encounter along our recovery journey. Tonight, I'm going to focus on the topic called Navigating the Holidays. So right now, I would like to share with you a few passages from the book and that particular chapter. For many people, Christmas and Thanksgiving means family and fellowship. Whether it is about the great feasts, sharing gifts, or loved ones traveling from various destinations, the thought of fellowship is ever present. Social clubs, places of employment, churches, and extracurricular groups all have some form of celebration during this season. As a result of these 2 holidays being so fellowship-driven, most suicides occur during the 30-day time period between Thanksgiving and Christmas. People in general manage to survive the other holidays during the year with better success. Thanksgiving and Christmas in particular highlight the absence of our loved ones. The memories seem to be more pronounced and more difficult to bear. Many people give up on living during these 2 holidays and die of a broken heart. As a result of Christmas and Thanksgiving being so family and fellowship oriented, the effect of the loss of a loved one is often magnified. Here we experience the challenge of expressing excitement, happiness, and gratefulness when inside we are crying and sometimes dying. Sometimes we suffer in silence, hoping no one will notice. When people are in a festive mood, many times they do not want to discuss events of sorrow like death. When Thanksgiving and Christmas are in the first year of the loss of the loved one, celebrating is even more difficult. There are many other first occasions that can be challenging. The first anniversary of the death of the loved one, the first birthday since the loss, the first holiday without the person, and on and on. People in a celebratory mood are not always compassionate and sympathetic. The holidays are an important time to protect your fragile emotional condition. When the loss of a loved one is recent and fresh, this is especially important. People generally don't mean to hurt a grieving person. I have found, however, that most people simply don't know what to say, and feeling compelled to say something, they invariably say the wrong thing. For example, you're at a holiday family gathering and someone mentions that you seem sad. Well, of course you're sad. You lost someone you love. Next, others are now focused on you and how you might be feeling. You might decide to try to explain how you're feeling, but someone may decide to let you know that you need to get on with your life. Someone might tell you that your grief has gone on long enough. Someone might even get spiritual on you and tell you that Christians don't grieve. All of these responses are inappropriate, hurtful, and can make you regret ever attending this fellowship. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. And let me drop down to a last passage that reads, I loved my fiancé deeply. There were many days that the deep love caused me great sadness. Sometimes I didn't feel like I had a prayer inside of me. There were many people praying for me, and that was a blessing. I did not feel at that time that I was seeking God, I was standing still within myself. There was an agonizing feeling that stayed with me consistently. That feeling was like being inside of a deep, dark hole. I knew that at the end of that hole, somewhere in the distance, a bit of light was shining through. I did not know when I would get to that light. I knew, though, that one day I would arrive at the light. Because of that, I did not grieve as one with no hope. Hope is the difference between living and dying after a loss. Hopelessness can kill. I thank God each day for the hope I did not lose. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Even when we cannot pray or see our way, Jesus is with us and will guide us safely to the place of healing and restoration. Lastly, through the love of Christ, we can maneuver all the difficult days that we have to face on this grief journey. Through the strength and presence of God, even when a prayer doesn't come forth, God will still be ever present to us. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. And those are just a few of the passages from the chapter Navigating the Holidays. And now I would like to just encourage you and just discuss a few issues and concerns that normally will come up during the holidays. And hopefully these will give you some additional tools as you approach that time. The first thing I want to talk about is planning and preparing, especially Christmas, Thanksgiving. Every year, Thanksgiving is going to come in November, and every year, Christmas is going to come in December. So we can be assured that when November rolls around, we're going to experience Thanksgiving. So it is good to start thinking about where you are emotionally, what is your strength, what is that you feel like you can do, and what you can't do. So the second thing, the coin and talk about the fact that other people who are not grieving, they're excited about the holidays. The holidays are an exciting time for most people. A lot of people are on vacation. They take their vacations during that time. People are shopping. They're buying gifts for everybody. They're getting bonus checks at work. There's all these social events that's occurring and giving people an opportunity to dress up and go to a party, something they may not have done all year. At our churches and ministries, there are all kind of drama programs and special choir singing, and the children are practicing and getting ready for their performances. And then all over town, everything is decorated. If you go downtown, there are lights, the street lights, there the windows of the stores are decorated in beautiful Christmas decor. So in America, even for people that are not Christian, in this time, they feel pretty good. It's just an exciting time. So because everybody else is already excited, then we have to understand that even if we're in a place after losing a loved one and we don't feel that, everybody is not in the same place that we are. It's just an exciting time of the year. So that brings me to my third point, which means that we have to make solid decisions about what we're going to do and what we're not going to do, even if those decisions make you sad or make you cry. For example, there may be a fellowship dinner. Could be family or it could be friends. It could be something that have been attended for years and years and years. And you got to decide whether or not this works, whether or not you can manage to sit through it, and that the people around you are going to be the type of supportive people. And just keep in mind, now remember, everybody is in a great mood during the holidays. So if you make a decision not to attend, you can't necessarily always expect to get everybody's approval. And mainly, it's not because people are being critical. Mainly, it's because people always think that if we're grieving, we're going to get stuck. And if we don't hurry up and move, if we don't hurry up and do things that are quote-unquote normal, we'll be stuck. And I can tell you from my own experience, that's simply not true. There were many things that I just simply didn't do during that time. And here I am years later, and I did not get stuck. So it's not true. Some people could get stuck, but getting stuck is not necessarily what will happen if you don't maintain all of the same activities that you did before you lost your loved one. The fourth point is protect your emotional state. Only you know how you feel. Nobody else can really tell you. People can tell you how you're supposed to feel, and that's dangerous because there are many people who never really grieved because other people was busy telling them how they should feel. They never had an opportunity to mourn, and then later in life, their issues that they're having or situations that are occurring that really goes all the way back to the fact that they never really had an opportunity to mourn a loss. So it is important to take time to mourn a loss. And so you have to make this good decisions for yourself about what works and what doesn't work. My next point is to take small steps with these fellowship gatherings and all these major events. For example, everybody who knows me, all my friends know that I love Christmas. I just love celebrating Jesus. Fun thing to me. And me and my friends, we would decorate for a whole month. We have the most decorations that anybody has. We love decorating. We love to just change our whole house. We decorate. We have a really good time with that. But after my fiance died, I didn't decorate that year, and that was probably one of the first years that I had not decorated since I was 20 years old. I didn't decorate. I didn't decorate the next year. Another thing is I am probably one of the last living beings that send out over 100 Christmas cards by mail. Every year I like to go to the card shop and I like to buy beautiful cards and I go get my postage stamps from the post office and I write beautiful cards to people all over the country because I don't always get to talk to my friends. And I assure you that if one of my friends don't get a card from me, they don't send cards, but they will call me to tell me they didn't receive a card. So, but that particular year, I didn't send any cards. I didn't feel it. I couldn't send any cards. And I probably didn't send any cards the next year. But now I send cards. I send my 100-plus cards. That's the post office is still getting my money. And I enjoy it. So I didn't get stuck, even though I stopped doing some of the things that it was just difficult for me. And I just chose not to put myself through it. And so I didn't. But now, you know, over time, you know, I've gotten better. And I remember even as a little girl, I don't remember the lady's name, but I know she was a more senior lady at church. And I remember her saying to me, she said, "Baby, when you have a problem, put some time on it." I'm like, wow. She said, "Put some time on it." And at the time, I didn't really understand what she was telling me, but she was telling me that time is a healer. And some things are just going to take time. Some emotional situations, the grief, it's just going to take time. And nobody can say how long that time will be. So my last point and my most important point is to say to you to pray. Pray to God transparently, humbly, and in truth. When you go before God, you don't have to pretend like you're not hurting. You don't have to pretend like you're not crying. He understands. Pray. You can pray to him. I pray. Pray to him that he will give you strength so you will be able to discern what is best for you. Father, should I attend the fair? Father, should I stay home? What should I wear? Pray that God will hold your hand. Ask him. If you're going to go to an event and you don't know how it's going to work out, ask him to hold your hand. Ask him to be there with you the whole time. Pray that God will give you courage to stand on your decisions, because some of the decisions you make, there may be people around you who don't really agree. But if you make the decision and you feel that this is best for you, then you stand on your own decision. Pray that when you decide to go to an event and you want to make a short appearance, pray for God's strength that you will do just that, that you will stick to your plan. Because it's important. Sometimes people are influencing you, and then when you change your mind and change your plans, then it doesn't really work out many times. And so, you know, it's a feeling that's not very good. So stick to your plans. But God is ever with you. He doesn't care. He doesn't look for us to speak in a certain language. If we just come to him humbly, he is faithful. So I hope that that will really, really bless you. I hope that those pointers will help you along the way. And once again, if you'd like to order a copy of Overcoming the Grief Pit Experience, I am offering it at a special price of $10. And the website is www.centerofprayeratl.com. Once again, the website is www.centerofprayeratl.com. And God bless you, and I'm going to turn it back over to Mary.
Well, thank you so much, Elder Davis. I understand all the things that you just talked about as far as the holiday. Certainly, holidays are so difficult times, and also it's important to take time to grieve. Many of us do not take time to grieve, and sometimes we put our feelings in a box and leave it there. And also the importance of praying to God for our concerns. But we have a question from the audience, so I want to make sure we have enough time so we can hear the question and the answer to someone from our audience. And her name is Cyrene Morrison. And just one second here. Her question is, how does one change a holiday routine tradition that one used to do with a lost loved one, or should you change your routine tradition to get through during the holidays? This is a question people wonder about all the time. Should they continue, or should they do something totally different? What would be considered healthy? Elder Davis.
Okay. So that question we're going to look at it a couple of different ways. It's going to depend on whether the tradition is with the group or with just that individual. So say, for example, you lost your husband. And let's just say on Christmas Eve, you and your husband used to take a walk through Central Park in New York. Every Christmas Eve, that was the thing that you did. And so, you know, you did it for many, many years. Well, now he's gone. And so there could be a question, well, should you just take the walk by yourself? Or should you change the tradition? So in that particular situation, I would say, look at the time, because if it's immediately after his death, it just may be too difficult. It may just be too difficult to do it. There were some things that my fiance and I had did together, and after he passed, I couldn't do it. I had to wait until time passed, and I felt better, and that I would be able to do the things and not feel so crushed. So maybe in time, that walk in the park, perhaps you may find another, maybe another friend or another girlfriend or just, you know, somebody who, you know, can share a good memory with you. But I would say not to be pressured at all into keeping that tradition. Okay, now I'm going to look at it from another angle. What if it's a family dinner? Or what if it's a fellowship, a group of friends, and every year you all had a, we'll say, a Christmas Eve dinner. And so, you know, everybody else is going to still attend this dinner, but he's, you know, he's gone. And so should you attend or should you not? Well, again, I first say, look at how you are feeling. How are you feeling? If it's too difficult, if it's going to devastate you too much, then I would say don't go. Just wait. Do something else. Do something else maybe that year and just give yourself time to figure it out. And then don't feel ashamed if you decide that you don't want to ever do that particular thing again. Maybe you'll choose to do something else. One of the things I do recall is I waited a few years before I went to the cemetery where my fiance was buried. And I believe I went too soon because I tell you, when I went to that cemetery, my cousin was with me. Thank God she was with me. I went into a panic. I had a map of where the grave site was, and then I couldn't find it. And then I began to go through a lot of emotion. Then I began to wonder, did this really happen? Is he really here? I mean, it was crazy. I just wish that I had waited a little longer before I went to the cemetery because it really just was too difficult for me. So I will say, no matter if it's a tradition or something you always did or routine, change is part of life. And if it feels better to you to just do something different, you know, you will explain to people unapologetically, this is not what I feel that I can do this year. I'll let you know if I'm up to it again, and they'll just have to understand. So that is my answer to that question. And, Cyrene, I hope that that gives you some insight on my experience and my position. So thank you so much.
Okay. We only have 2 more minutes. And what I would like to do here is to indicate to our audience that Elder Davis is not going to be on the show next week, the 24th, but she'll be back on the 31st. And that particular time is time of prayer. Now, Elder Davis, let me ask a question. Can anyone send prayer requests to you? Or because it might be so... can they maybe just put their prayer request on an index card and just pretty much have it available, not the necessary reader on the air, but just have it available when you do your time of prayer on the 31st? What is your suggestion on that? You got a minute.
That will be wonderful. I think write the prayer request down, have your card there, and as we pray, you have your hand laying on your request, we will all be touching and agreeing and standing in the gap for whatever it is that you need prayer for.
Wonderful, wonderful. So please tune in again on the 31st so we can be in prayer, because I know all of us are going through difficult things, and we'll be in prayer, and we have a prayer warrior here, and we want her to pray for all of our concerns. We want all our prayers to go up and blessings to come down. And thank you so much again, Elder Davis, for talking about your book. I've had several people to call me and ask me about getting copies. I want you to repeat one more time real quick where to get the book and how much does it cost.
www.centerofprayeratl.com, and it's $10. www.centerofprayeratl.com. prayeratl.com.
Well, that is the end of our show tonight. Thank you so everyone for tuning in and being a part of this show. And thank you so much, Elder Davis, and talking about your book. I am excited about getting a copy and just passing it on to others, my widows too, because even though that we have written a book, we want you them to read your book as well, because it's any information that they can get to help them to go through the journey of grief, we want that, and we want to support you as well. Thanks again, and tune in again. I will be on the air next week, the 24th. You'll be hearing me, so please tune in again. Thank you so much. Have a great week, and be blessed. Good night.
Be blessed. Good night.
Where would I go without your hand holding me? And how could I live without you? I can't see. Lord, what would I do in life? Where would I go now? How would I handle things? All that I know is I